page you're using it out are very hard. Let me just tell you that your base is not so hard. These two pages are exceptionally hard. They're exceptionally hard because you have a ton of Kabbalah concepts and almost no explanation. Teferas Devinasa Kesel Lezor, Hishtashlus Haksorim, Sheresh Amachos Bradlo, Zor Ba'atilo Tika Ochid V'Talia, the difference between Talia and Ochid. And then when he talks about Malchus, he says it's Mushish and Adlo and it's Ochid with Atik. All of these concepts are all Chinese, and in other places in Hasidus you have elaborate explanations of these subjects, and here it's just words. It's very, very concise. So the first consolation is it's just two pages, not the whole Maamar. These two pages are very, very difficult. What I would like to do first is simply tell you what I think is the reason why all of a sudden the Rebbe Rashab got cheap on words. All of a sudden he's not explaining anything. And I think there's a very good reason for it. And that's the following. You're all in the Hemshach. And you know, so to speak, the code. You know the essence, as I taught you in the Shura before Yom Tov, again and again, of these two Maamarim. The code of these Maamarim is to explain the word kois. In other words, the idea that there's a concept of a makabel, and that the makabel is not simply passive. The concept of makabel that Chassidus, the Teda, talks about is not simply like putting water in a glass. You put the water in the glass, take the water out of the glass, it's the same glass, nothing has changed. That's not the concept of makabel and Teda. The concept of makabel and Teda is where the makabel takes and gives back. And perhaps what the makabel is giving back is more than he got in the first place. And we had a series of examples for this. Number one, page Gimel, and then he went back to it on page Tes. Hoylah, the reproduction. Having children, as I explained to you, and the Mitzvah Shem and the Shir after this one, tomorrow morning I'm going to be neder, with God's help. I want to talk about this at greater length, is a miracle. Every act, every event, a pivot, if you have reproduction as a nace, you need to have mashpia makabel, a seed, a zera, a dchara, mashpia, and a nukva, makabel, a rechem, a womb where the seed germinates and grows and becomes a new metzias. Without the mashpia, nothing happens. If you have no mashpia, nothing, you don't plant seeds in the earth is not going to grow anything, at least not anything predictable. On the other hand, the koya chayin sof is in the nukva. Who has children? Women, females, the earth, not dchar, not the mashpia. So you must have a mashpia. The mashpia is giving the makabel. If the mashpia doesn't give the makabel, it's a dead end. But once the mashpia gives the makabel, who has the power to procreate? The makabel. Bini yesedim nitna b'isha, yesim b'ish. This is the first illustration of the concept of Mashpia and Makabel. Where even though Reuven is, you're planting seeds in the earth, and the earth is simply responding to the seeds that were planted, the seeds are the Mashpia, and the earth is the Makabel, still this Makabel is not just taking, the Makabel not only gives, it gives back more than it got in the first place. As like I said, I'm going to discuss it tomorrow. That was the first example. What was the second example? Ideas and words. Words are dead, they're nothing. The credibility, the integrity, the usefulness of words are proportional to the ideas that the words communicate. Yet there's this funny concept that as you speak the idea in words, the idea grows. When you think an idea in your head, you understand it. Somehow, when you start talking about it, your brain opens up and a new shower, a torrent, a flow of information spills out of your subconscious. Why? Because the Shayrish Ha'osius, the source of words and letters, it's kadum l'shayrish ha'ed. It has a higher shayrish in the nefesh than the ideas themselves. So, if a person is going to start speaking words, they're a meshugana. Okay? A person speaks ideas. The vehicle to communicate the ideas is words, so the words are the makabel, and the ideas are the mashpia. Yet, ironically, through the words, an enormous amount of lichtigkeit, an enormous amount of oed is added to the hashpa. That was the second example. Okay? And specifically within words themselves, there were two examples. One is when you speak ideas, and the other is when you speak feelings. When you speak ideas, you add more to the ideas. When you speak feelings, you get more emotional, especially when you raise your voice, as the Rebbe mentions on page 12. The third example was Oyers and Kalim. You put light into vessels. The vessels are lower than the light. And the Rebbe wonders, and we spoke about it in the Shiurim, why should light come down into the vessels? Light wants to go up. Teva ha'eli kolol b'matele. Light should not want to come down. Why is the light descending? So he gave us this seesaw, this push-me-pull-you. The balkochachat achai, balkochachat ames. The light wants to go back to its source. But it knows that the shadish of the keli is higher than its own shadish. And by going into the keli, it achieves a higher madrig. So keli is lower than oir, keli is a makabel, but the shadish of keli is higher than the shadish of oir, and therefore by the light coming down into the vessel, the light benefits. And the fourth example that we had in the previous maimir was a neshama and a guf. A neshama is higher than a guf, but the shadish of the guf is higher than the shadish of the neshama. So the guf becomes the makabel. When the neshama goes into the guf, the neshama benefits. So even though the neshama is the mashpia and the guf is the makabel, once the neshama is mashpia to the guf gives something to the neshama that the neshama doesn't have. So there's four examples. Okay, it's on page Gimel and then page Tes, page the bottom of page Gimel to the bottom of page Vav, and then it's from the bottom of page Vav till someplace on page Tes. You have the other two. Zachar and Erkeva in Hilagad, reproduction, ideas or feelings and words, light and vessels, neshama and guf. Mashpia makabel, four times. Go ahead. Okay, and the rule is, without the mashpia, it's a dead system, right? No hashpah, there's no offspring, there's no ideas, there's no giloyim lamata, and there's no dira betachtoinim. But once the mashpia is mashpia to the makabel gives back the mashpia, some of the makabel did not, the mashpia did not. This is the review of the previous maimon. Is that clear? Shanan Adam. Come on, pay attention. Now, so, what is the focus of these two maimonim? The priority of these two maimonim is to speak about makabel, right? That when you give something to a makabel, you gain. The mashpia gains by giving to a makabel. The reason page Yud and Yud Aleph are so bekitzer, because here he's not talking about makabel, here he's talking about mashpia. As I'll explain to you in a moment. Since on page Yud and Yud Aleph he's talking about mashpia, and mashpia is not our primary subject, we're not interested in mashpia, we're interested in makabel. So in my opinion, that's why he's makatzer. Why are page Yud Nidav so concise? Because Yud Nidav can almost be considered a parenthesis. The whole two pages is like a Maimon Amuzgen. If you understand that Maimon Aleph and Maimon Beis of this Hemshech have one priority, and that's to explain the word kois, makabel, Yud Nidav don't belong here. Because Yud Nidav are actually an explanation of mashpia, not of makabel. And that's why, that's how I understand why the Rebbe Rashab all of a sudden gets so stingy with words. You have to guess and grope and grapple and figure out what he wants. He's speaking Greek, to be very candid. Because this is, it's sort of like it's a parenthesis. The focus of this Hemshech is not on Mashpia, it's on Makabel. So when the Rebbe spends two pages talking about how the Mashpia is empowered to be a Mashpia, which is what Yud Nidav are about, explaining what the Mashpia has to do to be able to be a Mashpia, so the Rebbe becomes a Makatzer. Then when he gets to page Yud Beis, about 12 lines into the page, it says on page Yud-Beis, Ve'eid Zeis Yesh Ba Bini Yaseira. He goes back to Makabel. All of a sudden he gets generous in words again. On page Yud-Beis, about 11 or 12 lines in, the last four words on the line are Ve'eid Zeis Yesh Ba. From that point forward, the Rebbe is again Ma'irich, because he goes back to Makabel. So what you have here, there's a number of things that make Yud and Yud-Beis very confusing. The first is the Tamsis, the Kitz and the Galoshin. And again, my opinion is the reason he's Makatzin is because the subject of these two memorim is about makabel, not about mashpia. And page Yud Aleph are talking about mashpia, sees makatzer. Okay? And so those are two things. Number one, he's talking about a different subject, mashpia, not makabel. And number two, he's makatzer. Now, before I continue, does anybody have anything to question on what I said, or any comments, or any things to say?
Why did
you
bring in mashpia?
I guess because it's a soft. The makabel is only useful when there's a mashpia. There's no mashpia, it's a dead system. So you need to have the mashpia. So he mentions the mashpia also. He mentions it very bekitzer. Far too bekitzer for our comfort zone. But he is makatzer because it's a sugya of mashpia. Anybody have anything to say? Okay, now I suggest that you stay away from this, okay? Okay, now. The best way for me to address these two pages is to talk about something that seems completely disconnected in these two pages. I'm changing the subject on you completely. Hopefully, when I'm done, you'll see the connection in these two pages. And a double hopefully that what I'm telling you is true in Nishkin Cholom, Chaz Mizach Nishgeducht. Because what I want to share with you now is a thought that, since I'm a young bocher, I remember sitting with my Chavarim and discussing it, it's a major question in Chassidus. It's a major dilemma in Chassidus. I want to bring it up. Because I feel that this is really what's going on here. This is the subplot, or the subtext, to these two pages, Yud Nid Aleph, okay? You all say chitas. And I'm sure when you say chitas, you say it with lots of kavonah, tzayra from the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, the Rebbe kocht sich in chitas. So mistama, when you say chitas, you're concentrating meiridik. And not so long ago, in the last 10, 12, 13 days, You all learned the most difficult piece of Tanya, or one of the most difficult pieces of Tanya, the Geras HaKedesh Simen Chof, that begins with the words Iyuv Chayeichad. And of course, since you just learned it mamish last week, you're all big Bekiyim in the Geras HaKedesh Iyuv Chayeichad, but I'm not going to give you a test. I'm going to assume that you all have clarity. Okay? When you learn the Iyuv Chayeichad, the Alter Rebbe starts with apples, and he ends with oranges, and Shalom Yisro. He starts with one subject, changes his mind completely. Completely changes his mind. And like the Rebbe says, Lashon, Ve'ein peitzu peil metachtev, sa'alt mechayet, sa'seid mesuzet. Okay? And here's this. This is a great question. You'll learn this in Chassidus, yeah? You'll learn one hemshech, one maimer. They'll tell you a story. And they'll tell you, you should know this is the only way this is possible. Then you'll learn a different hemshech, and they'll tell you the exact opposite story. And they'll tell you it's the only way it's possible. You put the two stories together, you got an unbelievable contradiction, an inside, unresolvable contradiction, and everybody's happy with it. And that's the question. It goes like this. Everybody knows that to create Yesh Me'ayin, you have to have a Koyach Einsof. To create something from nothing, or whatever Yesh Me'ayin means, as I've explained it to you many times, you have to have an infinite power of the Eishter. Okay? Does anybody know where is the infinite power of Hashem manifest in His Tashlos? Where is the infinite power of the Eishter found in His Tashlos? I ask you how it comes into Hishtalshalos. How does the Koyach HaAtzmus or the Koyach HaInsof manifest in Hishtalshalos? Do you know what you're guessing?
Through what sphere?
Yeah, through what sphere, through what mechanism, through what form. You learn Shariach, you learn the Geras HaKedesh Chof. You learn Chitas Mitasach Kavana. No, so what's that in Gishtana? So much Kavana that you forgot, huh? Who remembers? I'll tell you. There's a whole chunk of my modem, mamash, a whole chunk of my modem, that will always tell you, and one of the places where you have this is in Tzim Mishpati Pada Reish Samach Beis, that it's from Oyer. The only way the Koyach Ein Sof is Nimshach and Elimus is through Ein Sof. Why Ein Sof? Oh, push it. Because Ein is Mein Amoy. Ein is like the source. And it's Dovah B'mod. It's attached to the source. And since the Eibishter, that only Hashem can create Yesh Me'ayin, right? Why can only Hashem create Yesh Me'ayin? Because what does Yesh Me'ayin mean? To create something independent. To create something independent, you have to be yourself independent. The only being that's truly independent is the Eibishter. So only Atzmus can create Yesh Me'ayin. Yeah? How does the Koyach to create Yesh Me'ayin manifest in Ishtashlus? Through Oyer. Why? Eir is Mein Amoyer. Oyer Ein Sof, the infinite light of Hashem, is attached to Atzmus, to what's called euphemistically in Chassidus, Moed, and as a result, in Oyer you have the power to create Yesh Me'ayin. This is what it says in a whole slew of my modem. And if you'll take out the Geras HaKedesh Chof that I just referred to, it's the first few pages. The Geras HaKedesh Chof. Yeah? Where does it start? I think it starts on page 257. What's that from 257? Kuf, Chof, Kuf Chof Tes, Amid Alpha at the bottom is where it starts. Kuf Lamed, Daf Kuf Lamed, Amid Alpha at the bottom of the page, the Alter Rebbe speaks about Ein Sof, and he says, only Ein Sof is Yesh Me'ayin. Why? Because the Ein Me Ein Hamoed, this is the source of the whole Sugi, these few lines in the Geras HaKedesh Chof, Ein Me Ein Hamoed is light, it's like the source, and therefore since Ein is going to get to the Eibishter, it's actually Yesh Me'ayin. It goes through the whole Hishtalshalos. And in every madreg in Ishtashlos, it creates Yesh Me'ayin B'Koyach Ha'Eir. Now, you turn the page, Kuf Lamed Amud Beis, about 10 or 12 lines into the page, all of a sudden the Rebbe changes his mind. And he doesn't offer you any resolution to the contradiction. And he says, oh, Koyach Ein Sof. Koyach Ein Sof is in Malchus. Or to use the form of our Maimit, the Koyach Ein Sof is in the Makabel, in the earth, in the Nukva, in the feminine. Where did the Eibishter plant Koyach HaAtzmus to create Yesh Me'ayin in the lowest level, in the earth, in the female, in the woman, v'chuli? Why? Because Mekabel has Milas Habitl. The only way anything can be a Keter, how could a finite thing be a Keter of something infinite? It has to be bottle. The earth is bottle. Nukva is bottle. Malchus HaAtzilus is bottle. So the Koyach Ein Sof manifests Malchus HaAtzilus. So when you start reading the Geras HaKedesh, good morning, your name? I heard about you. Okay, welcome. Come on. So you have mamash a contradiction. I really suggest, take up the Gesekei Shemachof, which you all learned with Kavanah Tumah, and look at it again. He starts off with apples, and he ends with oranges, and doesn't say any explanation at all. How does the Eibishter create the Yesh Me'ayim? So at first it tells you, from Eid and Sof, because only Eid and Sof create Yesh Me'ayim, because it's Dovak B'moed, it's attachment to the Eibishter. You turn the page, he says, who can create Yesh Me'ayim? Only Malchus, only Keli, only the earth, the lowest level. Why? Because since it's bottle, it has the Keach Eid and Sof. So now, by the way, does anybody have any idea what I just said? I mean, never, do you ever hear these concepts before? This is totally foreign to you.
Can I just say like this? The lowest level of Shmalchus.
Right, the lowest level.
The highest level.
Right, yeah, okay, same point. But there's two separate arguments here. Argument number one is that Dafke Oir has the power of Yashmiayim. And what does that mean? Oir is attached to the source. It's close to the source. The other argument is Dafke Malchus, which is the furthest thing from the source, has the Keach Ein Sof. That does not reconcile. It's a contradiction. So in the Samach Vav, for example, we have a whole Suya Oir, how Oir is Nava Yesh Me'ayim. In other places, in Tavshin Ches, which is based on Samach Gimel, over there, Mitamor Malchus creates Yesh Me'ayim. This is an inherent contradiction in Chassidus. You'll read certain Maimonim, and they'll convince you, pages and pages and pages of arguments to the effect, only by Hashem creates Yesh Me'ayim is Oir.
Malchus is not
Oir. No, Malchus is Keli. Okay, in a certain framework, the answer to that question is yes. In other frameworks, it's a lot more complicated than that. But Beklolos, Shebeklolos, that's true, yes. Other Maimonides give the exact opposite story, and pages and pages and pages of argument and proof that the only way for Yeshman is in Malchus. Now that's a contradiction. That doesn't go together. That's a jibe, as they say. Yes?
The world is created to do things, created to cause the Chavtza by us, no?
Yeah, but we're talking now about Keach Ein Sof.
Right, so that's called Chavtza.
That's right.
Which is also in the same thing, is also in the Keli at the same time.
But how could it be both?
It is both.
I'm asking you a question. There's an infinite power of Hashem, yeah? We have to find a way to bring the infinite power of Hashem into the world. And the Rebbe offers you two solutions. One solution has to do with being close, since light attached to the source, the Keach Ein Sof is in light. Then he offers you a different solution. Since Malchus is far from the source, and it's butler because it's nothing, the Keach itself is a Malchus. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? But the whole point is, you're trying to give a hesber of how to do something impossible, how to bring an infinite power into the finite world, and you offer two solutions. One has to do with closeness to the source.
One is Simpson, and another one is still saving. It says on a mathematical level. You know what I'm saying?
Do you understand what you're saying?
No.
Okay, and that's what I think is the answer to the question. Let me just repeat the question one more time, and then I'm going to try and pursue the answer. We see in reality Yesh Me'ayim, and like I said, tomorrow I'm going to talk about this some more. Actually, tomorrow I'm going to talk about Hilah, the reproduction, which is in a way Yesh Me'ayim. We see in reality Yesh Me'ayim. Right? What does Yesh Me'ayim mean? You look around the world, look at the universe, you don't see God. At Kedekach, that there are whole schools of thought created by so-called Chachamim to prove that the world is self-contained, that there's no outside influence. In other words, whether there is or isn't a God, as they would put it, has nothing to do with the world. The world is independent of the Yesh. Rachmana Litzlan, it's Apakursis, it's Avedazar, it's Kfirin. But nevertheless, yeah? Whose fault is it that we run around, or that Goyim Lahavlo, Goyish God runs around and makes that statement? Who's responsible for that fallacy? The Eibishter himself. Like you have the Lashon Chassidus, that the way the Eibishter created the world is Sheker Gomud, is the big lie. And the Yivesach, I told you once last year, the Lashon in the Maimonim is Sheker Gomud, the big lie. You know who phrased the term, I hate to use the comparison, to even mention him, Eilal Shulchan Malachim. You know who used the term, the big lie? Yimach Shmei V'Zichrei Hitler. Hitler used to say that if you have a big lie, you want to be believed, say it loud enough, and long enough, and people will believe. And that was his theory, and unfortunately he proved it to be true. Creation is a big lie. Why? Because you look at the world, you don't see the Eibishter. And in fact, the world is not only created by the Eibishter, it's dependent on the Eibishter so intimately and so constantly, it's really not a Metzius. So when you look at the world and you don't see God, you can blame it on him. It's his fault. It's called Yesh Me'ayim. Moreover, not only does Chassidus say, that's the Eibishter's fault, that he created a world where you don't see him. It's considered one of the deepest koiches in the Eibishter. It's much less a chiddush. for the Eibishter to create a world where you look at the world and you see him, than for the Eibishter to create a world when you look at the world and you don't see him. Right? Hein Gvoreisov, it says in Tanya. We make a bigger tzimis out of a world where you don't see Hashem than a world where you do. For the Eibishter, Atzilus is no big deal. Asiyah is a big deal. Why? Because of Yesh Miayim. Yesh Miayim means the Eibishter makes a world, you look at the world, you don't see him. Yeah. Now, how does the Eibishter create Yesh Miayim? So of course, the old answer is, of course, Eibishter can do whatever he wants, Kel Yochel, close the books. You're right. But Chassidus talks about what we call Hishtalshalus. And the moment we speak about Hishtalshalus, that means that we're trying to make sense out of this stuff. So once we accept the premise of Hishtalshalus, and that we're trying to understand what's going on here, we have to come to some kind of understanding. How does Yesh Miayim take place? What's the process of Yesh Miayim? How does Hashem create a creation that's in total denial of the Eibishter? And the answer is in these two words, Koyach Ein Sof, or Koyach Atzmos, as it's called in some places. Koyach Ein Sof or Koyach Atzmos means Hu Levadei Bekechei V'Yecholtei Lahaves Yesh Miayim Ve'Efes HaMuchlam. Only Hashem Himself. Hashem Himself is called Chassidus Yesh HaMiti. He's not even called Ayin. Well, Yesh HaMiti. Huh? It's higher even than Nefes. It's Yesh. Yesh HaMiti. Only the Eibishter Atmos and Hus create Yesh Miayim. Why? Because to create something independent, can I put simple words? Can I give you something that I don't have? If I don't have $1 million, can I give it to you? No. Can I give you Yeshes if I'm bottle? Also not. Only the Eibishter is Yesh. Ayin Sof is not Yesh. Ayin Sof is the epitome of Ayin. So how does the Eibishter create a world of Yesh? From his Yeshes. Or from the great truth comes the big lie. From Yesh HaMiti comes Yesh HaNivra. From Atzmus, since Hashem is independent, he can create us in a way that we, quote, feel like we're independent. Okay? So the Eibishter creates a world that feels independent of him. This world that's independent of him has to be created from Atzmus. No lights can create this. Why not? Because they are dependent. The lights of Atzilus know Hashem. How can you create something that doesn't know Hashem when you yourself know Hashem? Huh? Oh, that's another question. Because the Eibishter wants there should be Gilui Mosle, not just Atzilus. Mitzad Atzmus, you don't need his Tassus. The Eibishter wants there should be a Neshama and a Guf, not just a Guf. It should be Gilui Mosle. But I'll explain to you a different time. So this is where Chassidus gets interesting. Chassidus says it is. There's this infinite power, Koyach Ein Sof, Koyach Atzmus, whichever word makes you comfortable. This Koyach Atzmus is able to create Yesh Miayim. Why? Because it's Moshe Shein Atzmus, and Hashem is the Yesh HaMiti, he's the true ego, the truly independent being, and he therefore can create independence in us. How does that power get to us? How does the Koyach Ein Sof, Koyach Atzmus, or the Eibishter himself manifest down here in this world to create Yesh Miayim? And there's two answers in Chassidus. One answer is it passes through Oyr. Why Oyr? Because Oyr is davar to the Eibishter. It's attached to Hashem. Because of the dveikos, of the attachedness of Oyr and Moir, it has this Koyach Ein Sof. The other answer is, it's in the earth, it's in Malchus, it's in the Makaba. Why? Because Dafka, something that's buckle, is a keli for Ein Sof.
But now what we're trying to make,
I don't understand your question.
Yes, you're trying to make something into a
Yesh. Right. Well, the earth is the epitome of Yesh. What's more Yesh, a living thing or a stone? What's less aware of anything other than itself? Forget, a doimim is more Yesh than a... You're alive, you have a neshama. A mitzad you neshama, you could even ask the question, where do I come from? A stone is a piece of Yesh, all it is Yesh. The epitome of Yesh is in doimim. So the question is like this. Hashem creates Yesh Miayim. He creates something which is independent of him, at least it thinks it's independent of him. How does Hashem create Yesh Miayim? With the Koyach Ein Sof. How does the Eibishter package the Koyach Ein Sof? How does he deposit it into Seder Hishtalshalus so that Hishtalshalus should be able to create Yesh Miayim? There's two answers. One is Oyer, the other is Kalim. That's opposites. Okay? And I'm going to say something a little bit hafshadadik. I'm going to make a statement now. You'll either get it or you won't get it. But this is what says in Chassidus. We say that there's a Koyach Ein Sof in Oyer, and we say that there's a Koyach Ein Sof in Kalim, in Makabal, in Malchus. But there's a difference. That's a shade of lashon. Oyer by itself does not have Koyach Ein Sof. Oyer by itself is only Giluyim. because of the dveikus of Eir and Moir, there is the Keach HaEinsof in Eir also, but the Keach HaEinsof, which is in Eir, is Dover Nesef al Eir. Like by itself, the Eir HaEinsof is not Keach HaEinsof, it's Giluyim. There is something in addition to the Eir which gives it the power of Havas Yesh Miayim. When it comes to Malchus, when it comes to the earth, on the other hand, we don't say that the Keach HaEinsof is Dover Nesef al Eir, we say that the Keach HaEinsof is one with Malchus Mamash. That's the Lashon it says in Chassidus, which so to speak, is a vote in favor of Malchus. Now, why did I bring this up? Why did I bring this up? I brought this up because this is what's going on here in these two pages. You see, when you use words to speak an idea, you're not creating Yesh Me'ayin. It's a little more idea. Even when you put light into vessels, it's not Yesh Me'ayin. Having children, as I'm going to discuss with you tomorrow with God's help, is Yesh Me'ayin. Because having children of Yesh Me'ayin, there's a very big difference between the mashal of Hilad, of having children, and the mashal of Dibur, and the mashal of Eretz and Kelim, and even the mashal of Neshama and Guf. Because the mashal of having children is an inyan of Yesh Me'ayin. Since it's an inyan of Yesh Me'ayin, how do you create Yesh Me'ayin? You have to have a koyach atzmi, you have to have an infinite koyach. A koyach that's bli gvul, a koyach that's infinite. And that's why the Rebbe continuously uses the expression hashpa atzmi. I don't know if you remember. To give over an idea, you're giving over a thought. To have a child, you have to give over your own essence. Hashpa atzmis. And the Rebbe here is raising this question. How, to have a child, yeah? You have to have an infinite koyach. Where does that infinite koyach come from? From the mashpia or the makabel? And basically the answer is both. There's an infinite power in the mashpia, and there's an infinite power in the makabel. Just like Chassidus tells you, that for the Eibishter to create Yesh Me'ayin, there are two sources. There's the idea that the Keach HaEinsof is in Oyer, and the idea that the Keach HaEinsof is in the Makabel. The same is true, Begashmias. To create Yesh Me'ayin, to have a Keach HaAtzmos Lahavas Yesh Me'ayin, there are two requirements. The Makabel, that means the Makabel, the earth, the woman has to have a Keach HaEinsof, but the Mashpia also has to have a Keach HaEinsof. In other words, let me go back to my discussion with you. When you learn Chassidus, you come across a contradiction. The contradiction is, for Hashem to create the world, he's a Keach HaEinsof. How does he deposit it into Seder Hishtashlus? Some Maimonim tell you it's Oyer. Other Maimonim tell you it's Malchus. What's the answer? The answer is it's both. To create Yesh Me'ayin, you have to have a Keach HaEinsof in Oyer. And to create Yesh Me'ayin, you have to have a Keach HaEinsof in Makabel, Malchus. Just like for a mashpia makabel begashmi is to have children, you have to have a keach ha'atmos in the mashpia, in the tchad, in the man, and a keach ha'atmos in the makabel, in the nukva, in the woman. The same is true l'mayla. These two pages, Yud and Yud Aleph, are simply telling you that in the relationship between a tchad and a nukva, between a mashpia and a makabel, to create children, the mashpia, the tchad, also has a keach ha'atmos. There's a keach ha'atmos in the tchad, and there's a keach ha'atmos in the nukva. Just like when the Eibishter creates the world, there's a Keach HaEinsof in Oyer, and there's a Keach HaEinsof in Malchus, the same is true also Begashmias. When there's a relationship between a Mashpi and a Makabel to create Hilada, to create Yesh Me'ayin, there's a Keach Atmos in the Tchad, there's a Keach Atmos in the Makabel. But there's a difference. What's the difference? A seed, a tipa, is not a baby. It's a seed. In that seed, there's a Keach Atmos, no question. But seeds don't make babies. The earth makes babies. The rechem, the womb makes babies. So, the mashpia, the tchad, has to have a keach HaEinsof to be mashpia, a tipa. How do you create a tipa from which a child can theoretically form? You have to have a keach HaEinsof in the mashpia and the tipa. But it's only a potential child. To create an actual child, you're going to have a makabel. Babies are not created from tipas. Babies are created by planting seeds in the earth. So you have, in effect, two Keach HaAtzmos, two Keach HaEinsof. The Keach HaAtzmos in the Mashpia, and the Keach HaAtzmos in the Makabel. When you're speaking in the Eibishter's realms, the Keach HaAtzmos in the Mashpia means that the Keach HaEinsof is in Oyim Tzad Meina Moir. The Keach HaAtzmos in the Makabel is the idea that the way Hashem creates Yesh Me'ayin is Dafka through Malchus. And the same is true Begashmias. There's a relationship between a Zohar and a Nekeva, between a seed and the earth. There has to be two Koyach Einsofs. A Koyach Einsof in the Mashpia, a Koyach Einsof in the Mekabel. But the Koyach Einsof in the Mashpia, like Lamaila, the Koyach Einsof in the Einsof, doesn't create babies. It creates potential babies. The way to create an actual Vlad is through the Koyach Einsof in the Mekabel, and Lamaila means the Koyach Einsof in Malchus. In other words, what we have on page Yud and Yud Aleph that's really not negiah to our sugya is this. Our sugya is concerned with makabel. When you give somebody something, they give you back more than you gave them. Like you put an asham in a goof. You put an idea in words. That makes sense. These two pages add one thing, and that is that it depends what you're giving. If you're giving ideas, even if you're putting an asham in a goof, it's only giluyim. You know what giluyim means? I'm giving you something. If I'm giving you something, so the makabel is whatever the makabel is. The mashpia is giving to the makabel whatever the mashpia is giving, and that's the basis for the process.
Why does mashpia need to be insaf?
Oh, wait. He doesn't need to be insaf. Unless we're talking about heilada. If you're talking about reproduction, you're talking about having children. And in the Eibishter's world, what does having children mean? Creating yesh me'ayin, right? For us, a child is yesh me'ayin. And I'm going to talk about this tomorrow, Mitzvah. L'mayla, to create yesh me'ayin. To create yesh me'ayin, to have children, you can't have one keyach ein sof, you need two. You need a keyach ein sof in the mashpia also. Because since what the makabel is going to create, me'ayin, the mashpia, his oiridus for yesh me'ayin, also has to be atmos, also has to be ayin. Also has to be Ein Sof, I should say.
Can we just give up something he has?
He's giving over, not something he has. He's giving over his own essence. In a tipa of a father, you have the whole father. So much so that it's possible for the children to be better than their father. Right? What's the lashon? He brings a gemara. It's possible for children to be better than their parents. See, what does Chassidus say, Pshat? It's possible for children better than their parents. But me koyach av, you know how come the child is better from the parent? He got it from the parent also. No, but then, in your father was hidden and you was revealed. How could that be? Because when a father gives his seed to his child, he's giving his essence. He's giving things to his child he doesn't even know he owns. He's giving his whole essence. So the reason Yud Nidav is Bekitzer, because Yud Nidav is not the primary sugya of our maimon. Our maimon is interested in mashpia. Yud Nidav is talking about, I'm sorry, I said a mistake. Our mind is interested in makabel. Yud Nidav all of a sudden talking about mashpia. It's a digression. You could almost put these two pages in a parenthesis. So what does the Rebbe Rashab do? He wants to have a digression, so he starts speaking Kabbalah. He says, yeah, let's get over with it. He goes through very quickly. These two pages are very, very big kids, especially Yud Aleph. The bottom page Yud Aleph is mamish torture. Why? Because he's not interested in mashpia. This mind is not about mashpia. This mind is about makabel. Derech Agav, tangentially, parenthetically, by the way, as they say, no, Taylor, he mentions the Keach Ein Sof that you have in the Mashpia. That's why you will find Page Yud Aleph very difficult, because it is very difficult, and in my opinion, it's only my opinion, the reason it's very difficult is because the Rebbe is being made in Dik Bakatzer, because it's not Ikir in Yonne. You'll see on Page Yud Beis, all of a sudden he slows down again. He starts to explain himself better. Because as soon as he goes back to speaking about Makabel, he starts to explain better. Because that's the focus of these two Maimonides, Makabel, not Mashpia. Let me summarize what I said quickly. Okay? We have two Maimonides that give us four Mishalim, and starting on page Yud Gimel, we're going to have a fifth Mashal. Teira and Mishalim Yisrael. We'll get to that in Mitzvah. The purpose of these Mishalim are to illustrate that there's a concept in Kabbalah called Kais, a cup. And this cup doesn't simply take. You put something in the cup and the cup gives back. It's even possible that what the makabel, what the cup is giving back is more than it got. And we have a number of mishalim for it. Heilada, Dibur, Eris and Kalim, and Nesham and Guf. And the whole focus of these two maimonides is to explain what the makabel gives back to the mashpia. On page Yud and Yud Aleph, the Rebbe says, oh, by the way, when the makabel, when we're talking about a Kabbalah for Yesh Me'ayim, to create children, which is Yesh Me'ayim, doing for Yesh Me'ayim, it's not enough that there should be an infinite power in the makabel. There has to be an infinite power in the mashpia also. The zohar, the man, the seed, has to have a keyach ein sof also. So you have two keyach ein sofs. And I gave you the explanation to illustrate this from what's explained in many maimonides, How does Hashem create Yesh Meyayim? With a Keich Ein Sof. Where does He plant that Keich Yesh Meyayim? So some Maimonides, it says Oir, that would be Mashpia. Some Maimonides, it says Malchus, that would be Makabel. And then he gets like, hey, the Shchof that I mentioned to you. It goes one after the other. Just changes the subject right in the middle of the Igeres. And he doesn't offer any commentary as to resolution. And here the Rebbe seems to be explaining it. The Mashpia has a Keich Ein Sof. There's an infinite power in the man. There's infinite power in the light. To create a potential child, not an actual child. To plant a seed. So there's two parts of the Keich Ein Sof. There's the Keich Ein Sof of the Mashpia, which is planting the seed. But to create the child of Peil Mamash, to create Yesh Mayim, in fact, Eid is not enough. That's what you asked me before, Yossi, that I avoided answering you. Where does he put the Eid? That was your question, right? The answer is he puts it into Malchus. So you have a combination of two Ein Sofs. The Keich Ein Sof, which is an Eid. The way that Keich Ein Sof is planted in Malchus. So who creates Peil Mamash Yesh Mayim? The earth. A woman. Malchus of Atzilus. But the Mashpia also has to have a Keich Ein Sof. And that's what these two pages are about. Any questions or comments? I have one more thing to say, but let me just give you a chance to breathe.
That's the
Atara. Wait, we'll get to the Atara in a second. I'll get to the... Right, the Atara is the Keich Ein Sof of the Mashpia. Of the Mashpia, not of the Makabel. That by putting the Atara on the Mashpia is able to give a Keich Ein Sof. Levi, are you following? Now, the last Nekuda, which makes this even more complicated, is he says, we now established that in any time you want to create Yesh Meayim, right? The Eibach creates Yesh Meayim, the Malchus Atzilus to be Yesh Meayim. What's Yesh Meayim Bagashmias? People have children, it's an example for Yesh Meayim. It's not enough one Keich Atzmus, you need two. The Keich Atzmus in the Makabel, the Keich Atzmus in the Mashpia. What we now have added to this equation is that the Makabel is more important because the Makabel actually creates the baby. The Mashpia needs a Keich Ein Sof, but only to make a suggestion, a Keich for Ein Sof. The pile, the gila, the Keich Ein Sof is in the nukh. And the same is true, Lamaila, that there's two powers of Ein Sof. There's the power of Ein Sof which is in Oyed. There's the power of Ein Sof which is in the Makabel. You need to have both of these to create Yesh Meayim, right? But the Oyed is only the Keich for Yesh Meayim. Malchus is the pile of Yesh Meayim. Now, if that's not complicated enough, then about one more kvetch, this whole thing. And he says like this. A man by himself, or forgive me for using these words, even though I'm saying things I'm not supposed to say. Eid Ein Sof by itself does not have Keich Atzmus. When does Eid Ein Sof acquire Keich Ein Sof? Only when he gets married. Malchus of Atzilus, a woman, has Keich Ein Sof in her system. It's their essence. Malchus of Atzilus has Keich Ein Sof, period. A woman, the earth, the Makabel, has Keich Ein Sof, period. Now you have a Mashpia. Yeah. Whether the Mashpia is Eid Ein Sof, whether the Mashpia is a human male, or an animal male, or a seed that you're planting in the earth, the Mashpia doesn't have Keich Ein Sof until he gets married. What happens when he gets married? The Kala, the Makabel, gives him a crown. And by the Makabel giving the Mashpia a crown, he empowers the Mashpia to be a Mashpia. In other words, the way this whole concept unfolds is, number one, you have to understand that to create Yesh Meayim, you have to have two Keich Ein Sofs. A Mashpia's Keich Ein Sof, Makabel's Keich Ein Sof. Number two, you have to understand, the Mashpia's Keich Ein Sof is only potential for Ein Sof. Actual Ein Sof is in the Makabel. Number three, I have a secret for you. The Mashpia by himself doesn't have a Keich Ein Sof. He gets it from the Makabel. Who makes a king? A king, a queen, a nation. No nation, no king. Who makes a man have the ability to mashpia Keich Ein Sof? A nukva, a woman. And the same is true lamayla. Who brings out the Keich Ein Sof of Oyer? Malchus, Keli. So when it's all said and done, when the dust settles, all the credit is on the side of Makabel, basically. But it's important to note that mashpia needs a Keich Ein Sof also. Even though it's only a potential for Ein Sof, not an actual Ein Sof. And even though he gets this crown as a result of his relationship to his Makabel. That was a difficult shiur, I agree. But it does, if you paid attention, it does clarify these two pages. I feel this is helpful.
You want to explain all the Kabbalah
things? No, I'm not going to explain the Kabbalah things. You want to come over with me, I'll sing and dance around the mosque. I suggest, if this was a little difficult to you, really, there's a tape here. Listen to the tape. It's a Dargonish Nechavim. To get clarity, I'm doing that tomorrow morning, I'm going to give me another shiur. Tomorrow's shiur will be a lot more materialistic. It's going to be on the idea that I started before Yom Tov, about how every time a child is born, it's not an inyan tivi, it's an inyan funanes. I'll explain to you tomorrow.